This week's Parsha Tzav opens up with the words
Tzav.
And what exactly does Tzav mean? Rashi says in the very beginning of the Parsha, Ein Tzav Ela Lashon Zeros Miyad Uledoros. That's a very famous line of Rashi, where he is trying to emphasize to us that the Torah here is giving us an extra push to try to be involved in the mitzvahs that are described in this week's Parsha. Why do we have to have an extra emphasis on the mitzvahs in this week's Parsha as opposed to any of the other Parshios that we read until now? The reason is, says Rashi, because there are different categories of mitzvahs that we encounter throughout the journey of Jewish life. Sometimes you have a mitzvah which is very easy to fulfill. Sometimes you have a mitzvah which is very difficult to fulfill. Something that is very difficult for us, says Rashi, is a mitzvah sheyesh ba chisaron kis. When something costs me money, it's hard for me to be able to do it. Even if I have a tremendous amount of love for the Ribono Shel Olam, even if I feel very spiritually connected, the bottom line is, it's very hard for me to part with my money. And therefore, when we talk about karbanos, and we have the opportunity to offer a karban, just realize, a karban also costs a lot of money. And therefore, says Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha, that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go out of his way and say, you should be encouraged to do this mitzvah, because without that encouragement, you may find it difficult to do it on your own. So what I want to talk about today is a little bit of what is the expectation that the Ribono Shel Olam has of us whenever we encounter a mitzvah observance. What are we supposed to be spending? Are we supposed to be spending? Is there a cap? Is there a limit? Is there a restriction? We touched on it a little bit in the last class, but we didn't really get into the details of it. So we begin with the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos, Daf Nun Amud Aleph. What?
Someone asked this question
last night.
Yeah.
So let's see if I'm a good Talmud. What was the question they asked?
How do you balance hider mitzvah and
don't want to be on? Oh, so hider mitzvah is a little bit different. Hider mitzvah, the Gemara says, is at shlish. We're talking about mitzvah. Forget hider mitzvah for a moment. Then I want to hear what he has to say. So the Gemara says, Maseches Ksuvos on Daf Nun. Bu'usha hiskinu. They made a takana midirabanan. Did he start with this?
No?
So you're learning something new. Two good things that came out of it. One is, I know for sure that two people listened to him last night. The two of you are laughing, so it means two people listen. And I also know that at least you're going to learn something new today. So the Gemara says in Maseches Ksuvos on Daf Nun, there was a gzeira midirabanan. Hamevazveis, al yevazveis yoser mechomesh. Somebody who's going to spend money on a mitzvah should not spend more than chomesh nechasev. Chomesh means 1/5 of your total assets. Why not? Aren't mitzvahs very important? I should give everything I have. Says the Gemara, of course, mitzvahs are important, but you also have to be practical. And therefore, says the Gemara, how are you going to live life if you're going to go, every time you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, you're going to spend so much money, you're going to end up not having enough money for your own personal needs. And says the Gemara, Shema ye'ani v'yitztarach l'briyos. The concern is, if you're going to spend too much money on a mitzvah, maybe you will then become poor, and you won't be able to sustain the expenses of your own life. Now, the Gemara says there are two exceptions to that general rule. The general rule is never spend more than 1/5 of your assets, except for these two cases. What are those two cases? Anybody knows? Nope, close. Has to do with the Yomtiv. Chutz mi, says the Gemara, number one, Dalet Kosas for Leil HaSeder. When it comes to providing yourself with wine for the Leil HaSeder, you have to spend even an exorbitant amount of money, more than a chomesh nechasav. And number two, what is the other example? Ner Chanukah. If I don't have enough money to buy Neros Chanukah, and the only way to provide myself with the mitzvah is to spend a tremendous amount of money, says the Gemara, by Dalet Kosos and by Ner Chanukah, I should go above and beyond the normal expectation, and I should be willing to spend even more than 1/5 of my total assets in order to observe those mitzvahs. Now, anybody know what is a common denominator between those two mitzvahs, which makes it very strange that they are the ones that are chosen? What? They are both only mitzvahs midirabanan. The mitzvah to drink 4 cups of wine on Leil HaSeder is only midirabanan, and the mitzvah to light Hanukkah candles is also only midirabanan. And if that is the case, you have to wonder, how come the Torah didn't say, in order to observe a certain mitzvah, which is midaraisa, you don't have to pay so much money? Why is it when it comes to these two mitzvos midirabanan, these two rabbinic mitzvos, that we have an obligation to go above and beyond the normal expectation that would have been expected of us? That is the question that you have to ask yourself. The Gemara tells us that... Thank you. Thank you so much. We should share in simchas. Thank you.
Yes. And your mother told you on Shabbos, you know,
Purim Torah because of the miscommunication there.
Perfect. I got it. Thank you. So the question is, anybody know what she's talking about? Okay. Purim Torah. Got it. All right. So the question is, why do you have these two exceptions of Dalet Kosos and Neres Hanukkah? Okay. What? It's okay. Why Dalet Kosos and Neres Hanukkah? What is so unique about them? Sarah Soloveitchik had a very interesting explanation. Again, the Gemara says here, there's a certain realistic amount that a person is expected to spend for any mitzvah. However, these two exceptions, you're supposed to spend more. Why? Said of Soloveitchik the following. The reason why is because when you do these two mitzvahs, you say a bracha she'asa nisim lavosenu bayamim ahem bazman hazeh. You say it on Pesach night. Asher ga'alanu v'ga'alas avosenu mimitzrayim. You talk about the fact that Hashem saved the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. Kein Hashem elokeinu yagienu. So too today, in our generation, we should have the same experience of a geula. And we should be able to have that feeling, just like the Jewish people had it in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So both on Hanukkah, as well as on Leil HaSeder, we talk about the expectation that we have, or the wish, the tefillah that we have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do miracles for us. Now, we know that the world runs, generally, b'derech HaTeva. The Ribono Shel Olam does not like to do things outside of the rules of nature. Every once in a while, it's necessary. Every once in a while, it's needed. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do an act of Kriyas Yamsuf, which turns the whole world upside down, but that is not the natural course of events. That's not the way it's supposed to be. On these two occasions, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go beyond the natural laws of Teva. And if we are willing to ask Him that, Rav Soloveitchik said, what are we willing to do in response? We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want you to go beyond your normal expectation of how you run our world. We are also prepared to go beyond the normal expectation of what we would otherwise do. And in these two mitzvahs in particular, when it comes to Neres Hanukkah, when it comes to Dalet Kosos on Leil HaSeder as well, we are willing to say we will spend more money than we otherwise would have, than we otherwise would have been expected to. We are willing to do that because we are expecting of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go above and beyond your normal expectation of how the world runs as well. That is the way Rav Soloveitchik explained, but the bottom line is that normally, outside of those two exceptions that we have by Neres Hanukkah and by Dalet Kosos, generally the Gemara says you should not spend too much money because the concern is maybe you're going to be needing those funds and then you're not going to be able to live life normally. Listen to the words of the Rambam in Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Gimel, of Hilchos Erechim V'Charamim. This is in the Sefer of the Rambam called Hafla'a. Hafla'a. So there the Rambam writes, this is the very last halacha. You'll notice, if you ever study the Rambam, sometimes in the last halacha of a certain subject that he's discussing, the Rambam goes off a little bit from the very strict, rigid halacha, and he gives a little bit more of a hashkafa about what it is that he's describing. So here, this is the very last halacha in Hilchos Erechim. Erechim means when the Torah puts an erech, puts a value on certain items. So if I want to donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, how much money do I need to give? What is the value of this item, of this person, of this individual, of this whatever it may be? So all of that is discussed here in the Rambam. So here in the very end of Hilchos Erechin, the Rambam writes the following. La'olam. Let's say a person, says the Rambam, feels that they are in such a tremendous, deep sense of relationship and love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I come home one day and I say, I want everything I have to be the property of Hegdish. I want it all to be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. Is that appropriate or perhaps not? What would you say? You would say no. Why not?
Because he needs good food.
I know, but I nothing in my life matters. I love the Ribono Shel Olam so much. Nothing else in my life matters. So says the Rama. La'olam. Lo yakdish adam kol nechasav. A person should not give all of their property over to the Beis HaMikdash. Don't be so generous. V'ha'osezeh avar al das ha'kasav. And if you do that, you are going against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended for us to do in life. Shaharei Omer, because the Pasuk says, Mikol asher lo. And the Rambam says, the Pasuk means to tell us that we should not overdo it. We should give generously to the Beis HaMikdash. We should contribute. We should have the opportunity to offer karbanos. We should dedicate things that are needed. But don't go above and beyond. Ve'ein zeh chasidus eloshtus, says the Rambam. This is not called being righteous. This is called being silly. A person who gives all of their property to the Beis Hamikdash is called being silly. Shaharei zema'abed komamono v'yitztarach lebrios ve'ein merachamim alav, says the Rambam. Somebody who chooses to do that and then comes around collecting because they want me to help them because they have nothing left, says the Rambam, ein merachamim alav. We don't help that person out, which is an interesting statement in and of itself. Now, I would have said, you made poor choices before in life, but now, unfortunately, this is where you are. Shouldn't I be helpful to you? The Rambam says, no. We don't just help anybody who comes to our door who needs help. You have to think about it. You have to prioritize. Where are you going to spend your money? And the Rambam says over here, somebody who does such a silly, poor choice and gives all of their money, all of their assets to the Beis Hamikdash, ein merachamim alav. If that person comes knocking at your door, we would not be merachim on them. Uvazeh, uchayotze ba'omr chachamim, chasid shote michlal mevalei ha'olam. So the Rambam goes on to say that this is something that we are certainly not expected to be doing. Not only not expected, but something that we are discouraged from doing, which again comes from this phrase that our Gemara says. It's interesting, there's a comment of one of the Hasidic Rebbes where he pointed out, you have in the two parshiyos of Kriya Shema, the first one is about what? Va'avtas Hashem Elokecha is about? Avas Hashem. What?
Loving
Him. What is the second parsha of Kriya Shema? Vahayam Shamoa, Schavra Onish, it's about mitzvos. It's about observing mitzvos, or somebody who does not observe mitzvos, what the punishment is going to be. You'll notice there's some phrase there that is very similar between the first and the second, but there's one marked distinction that is left out in the second paragraph. What do we say? Vahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chal levavcha u'v'chal nafshecha b'chal miodecha. Correct? What does that mean? I should love the Ribbono Shel Olam with my whole heart, with my soul, v'chol ma'odecha. What does it mean? With all my ma'od. What's my ma'od? What does that mean? My money, my possession. I should use everything I have to express my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, go to the second paragraph of Kriya Shema. What does it say? V'ayam Shamoa. What does it say in V'ayam Shamoa? It says over there, we should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chol levavchem v'chol nafshechem. And look what's missing. V'chol ma'odchem. Why doesn't it say we should do mitzvos with all of our money? Says the Rishner, the reason why is because you're not supposed to give all your money to do a mitzvah. For your love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should spend, you should use, you should do. But when it comes to observing a mitzvah, there is a limit to how much you have to spend. And that is why in the second parasha of Kriya Shema, it does not say the words, B'chol ma'odchem, because you're not expected to give all of your money up in the observance of a mitzvah. So Rav Asher Weiss has a very interesting idea, which is, again, a chiddush of his, but it's something that I think is worth considering. So from here, this Gemara, we learn that whenever we say that you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, there is a cap to how much you have to spend. Says the Gemara, Al Yevazvez Yoser Mechomash. And this is quoted in the Ramah in Hilchos Dalad Minim as well. The Ramah says, whenever you do a mitzvah, don't spend more than a chomash nechasa. Now, Rav Asher Weiss points out, the Ramah formulates it in a way which is, don't spend more than a fifth. That means, am I obligated to spend the fifth? So the simple way to understand the Ramah is, the way everyone understands it is, yes, the Ramah says don't spend more than a fifth, which means you're supposed to spend up to a fifth. But Rav Asher Weiss said, no, the Ramah is just telling you what is the maximum. But what is the obligation that I have? That we don't find. It doesn't say anywhere how much I do have to spend. It only says how much I'm not supposed to spend. So what would my obligation be? You understand? This is a very fine line of differentiation between the two. The Gemara says, and the Ramah is quoting the Gemara, that you should never spend more than one-fifth of your assets. Does that mean the obligation and the expectation is that I'm going to spend up to that point? So Rav Asher Weiss gave the following mashal. He once told me, imagine, you ever seen in Yerushalayim, Erev Sukkos, you have all the people who are selling all the Dalet Minim all over the place, right? So imagine somebody realizes 2 hours before Yom Tov that they forgot to buy a rubbus. So they run outside and they see all of the different vendors have already gone home. It's too close to Yom Tov. No one's outside anymore. Sorry. No one's outside anymore. So what do you do? Runs around, knocks on the door of somebody who he knew was selling. He says to him, listen, I totally forgot to buy a rubbus. Now normally, how much do our rubbus cost you? $5. The kid realizes here's an opportunity to make a lot of money. Tells the guy, listen, it's Erev Sukkos. It's 2 hours before Yom Tov. You have no choice. If you're willing to pay me $6,500 for the two aravas that you need, I'm happy to give them to you. So, what would you say? Is he obligated to purchase them or not?
Depends if that's one
fifth of commission. He has $500,000 in the bank. No? So what would you say? Doesn't have to buy it. Why? $6,000 for two aravas. What do you say?
I would say no.
He doesn't have to pay. Why not?
Because it's just a crazy amount.
It's a crazy amount, but what does the Shulchan Aruch say? The Ramah says, how much do you have to be willing to spend for a mitzvah?
Like
up to a fifth. So $6,000, it's a crazy amount of money, but it's not a fifth of my assets.
But then you were going to say that there's, it's not actually
that
small.
Exactly. So Rav Asher Weiss argues that this makes no sense. The Ramah does not mean to say that I have an obligation to spend up to a fifth of my assets for a mitzvah that doesn't cost that. It doesn't make sense to say such a thing. What the Gemara is saying, in his opinion, is that there's a maximum to how much I have to be willing to spend if I want to spend so much. But what is the expectation of what I'm going to spend? It has to be reasonable. The Torah cannot expect me to spend $5,000 on two aravos when they cost me $5 normally and somebody's taking advantage of me. So he argues that it really depends on every mitzvah in particular to figure out what is reasonable to be spent on this mitzvah, and am I being ripped off or not? But that is not the same as what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, we're describing a person who is in such tremendous amount of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they want to go above and beyond that. In that case, says the Ramah, you only are allowed to spend up to a chomesh nechasav. Is that clear? If that's not clear, totally fine. You'll ask me afterward, and we'll move on. Rav Dessler does it right. He shares a perspective about this whole concept, and he says, but you do need to ask yourself the following question. I was reminded, before we get to Rav Dessler's point, Rav Shalom Shvadron writes in his, he was the Maggid of Yerushalayim, so he has a 3-volume set of Svarim called Lev Shalom. And in there, he has a story about a person who just didn't like to say Tachanun. So he would always find out where there was going to be a Chassan who was attending a Minyan, or where there's going to be a Bris, so that he would never have to say Tachanun. So he says, what kind of person is that? Is that a person who should be celebrated, or is that a person who's doing something wrong? Well, at the end of the day, it's true. If you happen to end up in a minyan where there's a chassan or there's a bris, you don't say tachanun, but he said to go out of your way and try to find those minyanim in order to make sure that you don't say tachanun sounds very inappropriate. So the same thing over here. Rav Dessler writes, what kind of attitude do you have when you are not given the opportunity to do a mitzvah because the Gemara tells you, don't spend that much money? Do you turn around and say, wow, I feel so relieved that I did not have to spend all this money? Or would you say to yourself, no, I feel bad that the Gemara is limiting me and saying I cannot spend more money than I would like to. What can I do? This is what it is. So Rav Dessler writes, it's always an opportunity for us to think about where we are holding in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are we willing to spend? What are we not willing to spend? And how do we feel when the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch tell us, don't spend that much? Do I feel bad? Nebuch, I won't be able to do the mitzvah. Or do I feel relieved how lucky I am that I don't have to do the mitzvah because I would have been stuck giving all that money to give myself the opportunity to do it? I always wonder, when people go to the store before Pesach, and I agree, a lot of things are very expensive in our community, and buying a sukkah is very expensive, and buying matzah is very expensive, and lots of different things in Jewish life are very expensive. But what is your perspective? Lots of people waste money on other things. I'm not saying everybody, but lots of people waste money on vacations. Lots of people waste money on all kinds of things. Then all of a sudden it comes to buying matzah for Pesach. Oh my goodness, it's so expensive. What am I going to do? Again, I'm not saying it's not expensive. It is very expensive. But if you're the kind of person that likes to waste money on other things, it would be almost inappropriate to say all of a sudden when it comes to a mitzvah opportunity to say, oh, this is just going to be too expensive for me. And the Chafetz Chaim points us to a very interesting idea as well, where he says, from here you can glean the Torah's hashkafa. If the Torah goes out of its way to say, don't spend too much money on your mitzvah observance, it goes without saying that the Torah also, of course, means don't spend too much money on things that are not a mitzvah observance. So says the Chafetz Chaim, how much money are you willing to invest in redoing your house, remodeling your kitchen? How much money are you willing to spend on your new car that you wanted? Again, everyone's entitled to have a car, everyone's entitled to have a house, everyone's entitled to do whatever they want. But says the Chafetz Chaim, if the Torah limits me of how much I'm supposed to spend on a mitzvah, then it goes without saying that the Torah also expects that I'm going to limit myself in the way that I spend in other areas of my life as well. So that, says the Chafetz Chaim, is something to think about as we consider this idea that the Gemara and the Ramah put forth, that one has to spend up to a certain amount of money in order to observe a mitzvah. As we mentioned, the cap for observing a mitzvah is 1/5. So let's say there are no lulavim and esrogim around this year, there's no sukkah, I have to be willing to spend X amount of money in order to provide myself with the opportunity to sit in the sukkah or to shake the dalad minim. However, the Gemara then discusses, what about not to violate a lo saseh? So the Gemara actually has a discussion about avodah zarah. So if somebody comes to me and says, I would like you to bow down to the avodah zarah, but I realize that if I give them money and I bribe them, I'm going to be able to get myself out of that expectation that they have. So how much money would I have to offer in order not to have to bow down to avodah zarah? What's the answer? What did my father say last night? He didn't talk about any of this? What? He did? In this context?
No.
He would never say that comment I just said. Never. Yeah, what did he speak about?
Yeah, someone asked if a woman should take tafana.
Why not? I assume that was a very quick question and answer.
Yeah. He said like a lot of people try to get out of it and like pussy and never say it because
they're all too precise. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara says that when we're talking about avodah zarah, and somebody knows that they can pay off the person who is expecting you to bow down to the avodah zarah, says the Gemara, you have to be willing to give kol hon beso, which means I have to be willing to give every last penny I have, not to violate the prohibition of serving avodah zarah. Surprisingly, the Ramah then extends this, and the Ramah says the same way the Gemara expects a person to give all of their money as not to violate the lo saseh of serving avodah zarah, so too says the Ramah, that same expectation applies to every lav in the Torah. To every prohibition in the Torah, we would say, if a person is being put up to violate a prohibition, let's say, eating non-kosher food, how much money would I have to spend not to eat this non-kosher food? Says the Ramah, kol hon beso, that would be the same as avodah zarah. And that is a very interesting chiddush of the Ramah, but a very important one, which leads many of the Gedolei Achronim to a very fundamental question. That question would be, who is the one who instructed us not to violate a lo saseh in the Torah? Hashem, right? God is the one who said, lo sirtza. God is the one who said, lo signov. God is the one who said, don't eat non-kosher food. Or all of these are said, are instructions given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, who is the one who said we should sit in the sukkah on sukkahs? Also, the same God. So, the Chasam Sofer and the Prima Gadim and all the Achronim wonder, if all of these 613 mitzvahs were instructed by the same entity, by the same God, then why is it that when it comes to a mitzvah, you only have to spend up to a fifth? When it comes to not violating an Aveira, you have to give all your money. Why should there be a distinction? Shouldn't they be exactly the same? Where do you find the difference between a lo saseh and an aseh? You should say both of them are the same. If the Torah is something that we hold up to be something that is valuable in our lives, then that means the entirety of the Torah is the same. And all of it was given to us by the same God. So why would we draw a line between a mitzvah saseh and a lo saseh, where we would have to give only a fifth of our assets for an aseh, and we would have to give up all of our money not to violate a lo saseh? What should the difference be? Everyone understands the question? Goldie, you with me? It's a good question. So what do you say in the back? Okay, question? All right. So along comes the Prima Gadim, and he makes a suggestion. Prima Gadim writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, here's the distinction. When we talk about violating a lo saseh, let's say, for example, eating non-kosher food, the way to violate a lo saseh is bekum va'aseh, which means I actively do something I'm not supposed to do. So somebody stands in front of me and says, here is non-kosher food. And I have an option to either eat it or pay $1 million not to eat it. Says the Gemara, you got to pay $1 million not to eat it because you are actively going to do something wrong. Okay, let's say along comes the Yom Tov of Sukkos and I don't have a dalad minim. Am I actively doing anything wrong on Sukkos when I don't shake the dalad minim? No, I'm being passive. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, but I'm not actively doing anything against what I'm supposed to be doing. So the Prima Gadim says the distinction here is not so much between a lo saseh than aseh, but rather he says the distinction is between actively doing something wrong or passively doing something wrong. If all I'm doing is something that is passive, then you don't have to spend as much money. If what I'm about to do is something that is actively wrong, then I have to be willing to give even more money to save myself from actively doing a brazen activity against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that clear? Not so clear? It is clear? So now let's take a test case. Who would know of a test case? What would a good test case be? I'll give you a hint. It's coming up, the next Yontif. When do you have a losa say on Pesach that you don't violate actively? Yeah? Perfect. So there's an isser in the Torah, bal yira bayimatze. There's a prohibition in the Torah, which is you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. Not necessarily seeing chametz. People normally say it like that because the Torah says bal yira, which means don't look at chametz. So does that mean if I'm walking down the street and somebody's holding chametz, I have to look away? No, it's not what it means. Bal yira really means that I'm not allowed to have chametz in my possession over the duration of the holiday of Pesach. Now, let's say there is chametz in my house over Pesach. Am I actively doing something wrong? Or is that passive? What do you say, Amanda?
Both.
What do you mean both?
I guess it's pretty active because you're actively providing a low cost.
Active would mean if I go to the store on Pesach and buy chametz crackers and bring them into my house. That's actively violating Bayirah, Bayimatzeh. But if before Pesach I just didn't do Bedikas chametz, I leave all the chametz all over my house, I don't get rid of it, that means I'm passively violating the Aveira Bayirah, Bayimatzeh, correct? That's what you meant to say.
I guess.
You guess. You don't agree.
No, yeah.
You do agree. Now you agree. It's okay. All right, so that's called passively violating. That's not the same as going and eating a non-kosher sandwich. That would be actively violating an Avera to do that. So here, says the Prima Gadin, maybe the expectation would be different when that is what we're talking about. How much money would I have to spend not to violate the Avera of Bayirah and Bayimatzeh, which will only be violated passively? That's the test case. How much money would I have to spend?
No.
Well, what?
How much money, like pay the garbage man?
Exactly. How much money would I have to pay?
Like $10.
No. Let's say I had an extreme case. How much money would I have to pay? So that's exactly the question. If you take the Rama literally and the Gemara literally, you'll say, well, the distinction is between a mitzvah and an aveira. Along comes the Prima Gadim. He says, no, the distinction is not about a mitzvah versus an aveira. The distinction is whether I'm doing something actively or I'm doing something only passively. That is how we draw the line. And therefore, he says it would make a big difference by Yerah, by Yimatzeh, on Pesach, for one example. But there are many other examples that are given as well. To that, the Chasam Sofer gets into it. We don't need to get into all the examples here, but that is the way he understands it. Now, the question that now is a major problem is the following. There's a lo sase in the Torah that is referred to as lo samod al dam reyecha. What does lo samod al dam reyecha mean? Lo samod al dam reyecha literally means don't stand by idly when somebody else's life is being destroyed. If you have the ability to save them, you have to get involved. So for example, says the Gemara, if I know how to swim and I happen to walk by a swimming pool and I see somebody's drowning in the pool and they don't know how to get out, they don't know how to swim, I can't just keep walking. Lo samad al dam reyecha. You have to jump in. You have to do something. Now, how far does that go? Let's say I don't know how to swim, but I have the ability to go and get someone else or hire someone else to come get them out. Okay, that's a question. But on a simple level, I have an obligation to make sure that I don't sit by idly when somebody else's life is in danger or somebody else's life is being destroyed. I have to get involved and help them as much as I can. That's what the Pasuk expects of us in the losa say of lo samad al dam reyecha. Okay, so how much money would you have to give not to violate lo samad al dam reyecha? It's not a trick. Everything, right? Okay, so here's the question. Question number one, says the Chasam Sofer, we have a Gemara where we're told, how much money am I obligated to give to be poda es hashvuyim? Unfortunately, a very relevant issue in our community. How much are we supposed to be willing to give ransom to get somebody out of captivity? So don't extrapolate from here to the current situation in Israel, because that has a million and one political factors that are involved in it. Just say in the abstract, how much money should I be willing to give if somebody in the community is being held captive? And we know that money will be able to solve the problem. How much should we be willing to give? So what would you say? All of what? All of my money? All the community's money? If we have a communal fund, we should drain all the money on this? I would say yes. Why? Because human life is human life. It's very important, right? And if that means for the rest of our lives we're never going to have matzah again, too bad. Human life is worth it. Correct? That's what it should have said. However, the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that we don't do that. There's a limit to how much we spend. Ein podenas hashvuyin yoser mikidei demehem. We don't give more money than they're actually worth. Now, how do you know how much a person is worth? That's a good question. But says the Gemara, if you know that you're getting an exorbitant amount of money that's being requested of you to get this person out, we would not give that money. Why? Because what's going to end up happening is they're going to take more hostages, they're going to have more situations like this, because they're going to want more money, and they see the Jewish community is going to pay. One of the most famous cases of this was the Maharam Rutenberg, who was the Rebbe of the Rush. He was taken captive in his community in Europe, and he left instructions, let me die in jail. Do not get me out. Because he said, if they see that the Jewish community rallies together and is willing to put up money to get the rabbi out, who's the next candidate who they're going to take? The next rabbi. And this is just going to happen over and over again. And therefore he said, that is what the Gemara says. Now ask the Chasam Sofer, how can you say such a thing? How can you say that we wouldn't be willing to give money for somebody to get out of captivity? Isn't that Lo Saman Al Dam Reyecha? And for myself not to violate a lav, I would have to give all of my money away. So the Chasam Sofer wonders. So the answer obviously is, that is an exception to the rule. There's a reason for the exception. The exception is because if we're going to give all the money, then this is going to happen over and over again, and there's going to be no deterrent for a hostage to be taken again. So that is the exception to the rule. But here is the major question. The major question goes as follows. We know that there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. There is not only a mitzvah to give tzedakah, there is also a lo sa'aseh not to give tzedakah. What does the lo sa'aseh? The Torah says, lo sa'amitz es yadcha, lo sa'amitz es levavcha, lo sikpotz es yadcha. It means you're not allowed to close your hand, you're not allowed to close your heart. If somebody comes to you and legitimately needs tzedakah, we have to do whatever we can to help them. And you can't just turn away and not pay attention. So the question is, if by not giving tzedakah, I'm going to violate a lo sa'aseh in the Torah, then why is it that I don't have to give all of my money away to tzedakah? That's a good question. Another question. Imagine if we gave all of our money to medical research. Don't you think they would find a cure for cancer if every Jew in the world gave every penny that they have to pay every scientist to figure out a cure for cancer? Don't you think we would figure it out? Probably. So, by the fact that we're not giving the money, means we're violating Lo Samal Adam Reyecha. There are people, unfortunately, dying every day from cancer because we don't yet have a cure. So, wouldn't it be my responsibility to give everything I have and your responsibility and everybody else's in order to make sure that we can try as best as we can to get a cure for cancer, which we very much need? No? You guess. Okay, so give me your credit card information. Let's do it. So what's the answer? So obviously it's not the case, but that's the question, why not? So this is something that many of the Achronim try to grapple with. They try to figure out exactly how to answer. I'm going to turn this